Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor of a church out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Steve Vaughn in studio with me today, another homeschooling dad of six. And today we're going to come back to popular culture in an effort to understand the times. Indeed, the men of Issachar were discerning men who understood the times and were commended by that in Scripture. And so again, we come back to discerning the times ourselves on this radio program. And pop culture plays an important part of the zeitgeist today, that is the spirit of the age. I'm not saying it's important for us to be in careful communion and fellowship, close koinonia with the unfruitful works of darkness. In fact, the Bible prohibits that sort of thing for us. But at the same time, it's important for us to understand the times and realize the cultural influences, especially upon our youth these days. And there are reasons, of course, why we are not accessing pop culture. We don't want to be in the movie theaters on a regular basis. We don't want to be listening to the top 40 music stations on a regular basis. And you say, why? Because we just don't want to have close fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. It's just that clear. And so, again, friends, we analyze these things, understand the worldview of the world around us in order that we might create a proper apologetic, that we might be able to bring a message to the present day, a call to repentance, and that we might warn others about these ideas that have been so unfruitful in our present generation, especially with the millennial generation. So our children are often tempted towards the world. They're tempted towards the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But we need to remind them that the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he who keeps the will of the Father abides forever. So let's keep these things in mind as we come back to pop culture. I wrote a book called The Tattoo Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Do with Pop Culture, in order that those tens of millions of evangelical kids and adults that interact with pop culture, walk into movie theaters and enjoy movies, would go in with something of a discerning spirit and would cast down imaginations in every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God in Christ. Well, that's the introduction to pop music. We come back to popular music from time to time. I haven't listened to pop music or popular music stations all of my life. Actually, I've never really listened to popular music.
I've always been kind of on the fringe myself.
Yeah, so I don't really listen to popular music, Steve, but I do like to know what is happening in terms of the worldview that is propounded by people like Ariana Grande. Now, Ariana Grande is probably the most popular music pop singer today. She kills the souls of children by the millions upon millions, and of course did that concert in Manchester, England, where Islamic terrorists busted in and killed a bunch of people as well. So Ariana Grande, known for killing the souls of children by the millions upon millions with her pro-homosexual lyrics, she's known as one of the most pro-homosexual singers of the day, and of course one of the most popular singers of the day, especially when it comes to her YouTube downloads. Her music videos have been downloaded a total of 10 billion times. I'm not talking about 10 million, 10 billion times. And that has got to be amongst the most popular singers of our day. Ariana Grande topping 10 billion downloads for her music. That exceeds even what we get on the Generations radio program.
Just by a few.
By a few. Her big hit that just came out, 45 million YouTube downloads this last week. And the title of her new release is God is a Woman. Now, it is getting something of the reputation of being one of the most blasphemous and one of the most offensive musical arrangements ever in the history of the post-Christian world.
Yeah, I could imagine.
And we certainly are in a post-Christian world, a world in which there is massive apostasy, Ariana Grande being a lapsed Catholic, and so having something of a Christian background, at least over the last 500-700 years. She comes out of a Christian world in which she rejects it utterly and embraces a robust form of paganism in her new YouTube music video called God is a Woman, 45 million YouTube downloads in a week. That would account for about 15-20% of this nation in a single week. And no doubt she will receive, you know, 300-500 million downloads on this piece of music, and therefore pretty much dominate the zeitgeist of the day. Friends, this is the zeitgeist of the day. It's not your favorite little Christian musician that gets, you know, 2,400 downloads on his little music video. No. This is not Fernando Ortega here, friends. This is not those tiny little obscure Christian singers like Fernando Ortega or Steve Green or anybody else. This is the giant. This is the principality and powers that dominate the minds of hundreds of millions, if not billions of people around the globe. This is the zeitgeist. This is the worldview. This is the demonically controlled principality and power that controls the minds of hundreds of millions of people around the United States and around the world. 45 million YouTube downloads in a week. And her doctrinaire is effectively paganism. She presents sex as the source of all of life. It is effectively one big sexual orgy. That's the idea of the video. And by the way, she is the first person in history to have lead singles from each of her first three albums debut within the top 10 in the United States. So she is an incredibly popular singer in America today. And in 2017, Mitchell Harrison of Billboard magazine called Grande the gay icon for her LGBT-friendly lyrics, meaning that she is pro-homosexual. She is, I guess, transsexual. She accepts all forms of sexuality and presents sexuality as a god in and of itself. Again, probably the most idolatrous pagan song in the history of the Christian apostasy of the West, Ariana Grande's song, God is a Woman. The song is an anthem to female sexuality. When all is said and done, you'll believe God is a woman, she sings. Those are the lyrics. Yeah. When all is said and done, you'll believe God is a woman. She wrote in a Twitter conversation, sex is empowering. It is the source of all life. She is attempting to revive the fertility cults of Canaan. And that's obvious.
Yeah.
That's obvious. The temple prostitutes, the whole nine yards. It's temple prostitution that she's bringing to the front of American pop culture today. So if you want to know what temple prostitution was like in Baal worship, roughly 1000 BC, then friends, this is it. And hundreds of millions of Americans will delight themselves in Baal worship with a temple prostitute by the name of Ariana Grande via YouTube. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this in just a moment on the Generations Breakfast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. Five states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way, protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And we're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson here as we revisit pop culture and find that Ariana Grande is attempting to reconstruct ancient Canaanite type of sexuality, the reasons, of course, why God destroyed Canaan. So that's why I think it's important for us to understand this is why God destroys nations. And Ariana Grande trying to reconstruct the fertility cults of ancient Canaan. In ancient Canaanite paganism, the head of the pantheon was the god El. With the general irrationality and moral grossness of Canaanite religion, he was a dim and shadowy figure who Philo says had three wives who were also his sisters and would readily step down from his eminence and become the hero of sordid escapades and crimes. Philo portrays El as a bloody tyrant whose acts terrified all the other gods, who dethroned his own father, murdered his favorite son, and decapitated his own daughter. I'm not sure Ariana is quite ready to decapitate her own daughter or murder her favorite son, but the fertility cult is strong with the post-Christian modern pagan world of Ariana Grande. There's no question. You've heard the lyrics or seen the lyrics.
I read through them, unfortunately.
We don't see anything about her killing her daughter.
No.
But it does appear that she is reviving something of this ancient Canaanite sex worship.
Yes, she is. She intermingles Christian ideas with this sexual act, including the term pray, to be blessed, save your soul. Those are terms that keep coming up in this song, and it's mixing it with the act of sex.
Well, it's very religious, and that's the point, is reducing sexuality to a religion. And that, my friends, is the revival of the ancient Canaanite paganism and the fertility cults that were very strong at the time that God destroyed all of Canaan. The Ugaritic poems add the crime of uncontrolled lust to Baal, and Baal's morbid character in the description of his seduction of two unnamed women is the most sensuous in all of Ugaritic literature. Combination of the sister and spouse of Baal was one of the galaxy of three Canaanite goddesses whose character gives a hint of the depths of the moral depravity to which the Canaanite cults sank. The other two are Astarte and Asherah. All three were patronesses of sex and war, sex mainly in its sensual aspect as lust, etc., etc. And, of course, the brutality, the lust, the abandon of Canaanite mythology was about the worst that any other culture had ever seen. And that's why God destroyed Canaan.
Yeah.
This is precisely what he says in Leviticus 18 and Leviticus 20 as well, the passages that are very much disliked by modern aficionados of homosexuality, because these were the sins over which God brought his destruction to this pagan land. He did not want this pagan land to continue because the pagan land had been so saturated with sexual crimes and sexual sin. Deuteronomy 20, verse 16 tells what happens to societies that download Ariana Grande sex goddess worship kind of YouTubes. Listen to Deuteronomy 20:16. But if the cities of these peoples, which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance, you shall let nothing that breathes remain alive. In other words, destroy everything. You shall utterly destroy them, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, just as the Lord your God has commanded you, lest they teach you to do according to all their abominations which they have done for their gods, and you sin against the Lord your God. And some of that actually did happen because they were a little hesitant or negligent at completely destroying the Canaanite tribes and the Canaanite religion. Joshua 6:21, remember at Jericho, they devoted all of the city to destruction, both men and women, young and old, oxen, sheep, and donkeys with the edge of the sword.
Yeah, and in some cases, they were ordered to even burn them up because some diseases that they would have had can only be taken care of through fire.
Yeah. So, friends, this is what happens to countries and nations that give way to this ultimate prostitution, child sacrifice, snake worship, the kind of stuff that was extremely popular during the time of Canaan's development of their society prior to the coming of the Jews. And this, again, is where our modern nations are headed, as depicted by people like Ariana Grande.
Yeah, and if you remember back even in the book of Numbers, when Balak wanted to curse Israel because he knew Israel was coming, he called upon Balaam to try to curse them, which God didn't allow him to verbally curse. But Balaam came back and said, hey, here's what you do, is you send out all your best-looking women and invite them into a big party, and God will judge them because of the orgies that they had, which God then did. And so sexual sin was a way for the enemy to bring about judgment from God.
Ariana Grande reviving the fertility cults of Canaan yet again, referring to sexuality itself as the source of all life. And she effectively is quoting several of the modern pagan philosophers, like Barbara Moore. She's a modern pagan who writes, sex is the source of life and the enemy of God. It's Barbara Moore. And Naomi Goldenberg, another modern pagan, she writes that she hates God because the biblical religion has denied women the pagan experience of seeing themselves as divine beings. And that's precisely what Ariana Grande is presenting herself to be. Not only is she glorifying sex, she glorifies herself as the sexual object, as the goddess itself in the music video that she has produced some 45 million downloads on that video in just the last week. And, you know, this is nothing different than what Satan tempted Eve with in the garden. Ye shall be as gods. I guess he's still tempting feminists like Ariana Grande. She wants to be a goddess. She does.
Yeah. She wants to displace God. Yeah.
And she admits to this. She effectively says, I want to be God. I don't want the biblical God to rule over me. I want to be a goddess myself. I want others to worship me. And she's being about as explicit as anybody can be on this. Now, I think most people by nature want to be as gods. They want to turn themselves into gods. They want to displace the true and living God with themselves. And that's a temptation that all of us give way to. But she is, of course, making a mint out of her epistemological self-consciousness concerning her own godhood.
Yeah, and unless God actually saves her, everything that she makes and everything that she does will do her no good when she faces the judgment.
Ariana Grande expressing herself, her feminist desires, her godhood, her idealization of sexuality in her new release. And by the way, the song was number 11 on this week's Billboard's Hot 100. My guess is it's going to be the number one position for YouTube downloads, at least for now. Meanwhile, Grande is not apologizing for her lyrics and recently joked with fans on Twitter about going to hell for singing the song.
Wow.
I wouldn't joke about that.
No, I wouldn't either.
That is something not to joke about.
Yeah. It is a frightful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. I think that's somewhere in Hebrews.
And she is this close.
Yeah.
She is this close. Well, she will wake up. Unless she repents, she will wake up on Judgment Day, and she will hear frightening words in which Jesus will say, depart from me, you cursed, you workers of iniquity, into everlasting fire. And then she will be judged to the face. To the face. She will have complete sensitivity to her own judgment and the torment of eternal fire forever and ever. The eternal justice, the judgment, the wrath of Almighty God will be set upon her, and something that, of course, no human can ever experience or know on this side of hellfire, but she will experience it one day if she does not repent and turn to Jesus Christ and embrace him as her only Savior and Lord.
Yes, and that is a very frightful thing. One of the imagery that I'd heard that I think is fairly close is a guy who used to live in Texas, and he said he'd go to the basement and turn on the light, and he could almost hear the cockroaches running for cover to get into darkness, because cockroaches like darkness. And he said that in the light of God's judgment, it would be like cockroaches not being able to find the darkness anymore, and it just is the anger and that wanting to get away, and you can't get away. You try to run from God all of your life, you'll end up being under God's judgment forever and never finding the darkness again, because you will be in subject to God's light.
And I think
forever.
What frightens me even more concerning this is that she is deceiving tens of millions. She has 10 billion downloads on her trashy music. And that is infecting the minds and the hearts and the souls of hundreds of millions of people around the globe.
Including little ones.
Yes, right. And she is by far more influential than the Adolf Hitlers and the Frederick Nietzsches of the world, because she is able to mass produce her trashy lyrics to the ears of hundreds of millions of people via pop culture. Well, friends, we're going to shift directions just for a moment as we consider the rise of feminism and the rise of this aberrant form of sexuality affecting the church again. And I want to address the TNIV, which took the direction of the gender blender and egalitarianism. Egalitarianism, of course, was the thing that was probably more fundamental to than the rise of transgenderism and homosexuality. And of course, now there will be translations that will do its best to justify the idea of homosexuality and transgenderism in the next 5 to 6 years. But the TNIV and the NIV crowd has done its best to incorporate egalitarianism and gender confusion into the NIV Bible, at least over the last some 10, 15 years. The TNIV was and the NIV were put together by evangelical scholars, and it has turned gender neutral to eliminate the hated reference to he and him, the son of man. The hated male was taken out by the feminist scholars. And it turns out that this translation was not created by liberals. I think people need to understand the TNIV and the NIV was not created by liberals per se. The feminist scholars that worked on the TNIV and the NIV, the new NIV, were the conservative evangelicals of Bethel Seminary, of Trinity Evangelical Seminary, Westminster Theological Seminary, men like Ronald Youngblood, Gordon Fee, Douglas Moo, Bruce Waltke, Herbert Wolf, R.T. France. These were the guys that were in the translation committee for the NIV and the TNIV. And friends, I think we need to understand that it's evangelicalism that has been a huge tool in the hand of the devil to bring about more of this gender blender and more of this feminism in the last 15 to 20 years. I'll give you an example. The NIV 2011 translation translates Psalm 8:4 by saying, "What is mankind that you're mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them." Now, does that sound different than the original?
Yeah,
Psalm 8.
What is man?
What is man that they're mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?
Right.
They have changed that to "what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them." Even the phrase "son of man" is translated as "human beings." That's not what it says. So it takes away all prophetic reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Bible, the title "Son of Man" is used messianically, and Jesus applies the title to himself on numerous occasions. And the author of Hebrews interprets Psalm 8:4 messianically and quotes the entirety of the verse in Hebrews 2 and verse 6.
Yeah.
So, my friends, again, watering down and destroying the Word of God in order to bring about an egalitarian understanding of God's Word, an egalitarian understanding of all of human society, it's the new social view that is imposed upon the worldview of Scripture and the translation of Scripture. And this, my friends, is incredibly insidious and is the means by which the liberal evangelicals are bringing about the destruction of the Christian church and the destruction of the Christian family in the present day. And this is extremely, extremely dangerous. Here's another example of the modern NIV, which reads, "I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man." Now, that's very, very different than the old NIV, which read, "I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man."
Yeah.
So it's a very, very significant difference. Now, I think it's also important that we all remember that Zondervan was bought out by News Corp. Zondervan is the publisher of the NIV, the TNIV, and then the NIV. And Zondervan made the decision to scrap the old NIV and incorporate the gender-neutral language of the TNIV into the NIV in 2011. And it was Zondervan that was bought out by News Corp, owned by Robert Murdoch, who, by the way, has been through three divorces. He's on his fourth marriage. And also, he's the father of the modern tabloid. He invented the modern tabloid, according to The Economist, a stew of sexual titillation, moral outrage, and political aggression. That is the works of this man of the flesh by the name of Robert Murdoch. He is the man of the modern tabloid that mainstream sexual titillation for the modern age. He's been through three divorces himself, and now he's on his fourth marriage. Now, does it matter that he has become the owner of Zondervan and controls the gender-blendered version of the Word of God, that is the NIV, translation of the Word of God, which, by the way, is the most popular version, at least in terms of Bible sales, in 2016, the top-ranked Bible translation in terms of sales, according to the Nielsen 2016 rankings, was the NIV, after that the KJV, after that the New Living Translation, then the ESV and the New King James Version of the Bible, in that order. Friends, in terms of Bible sales, the NIV is at the very, very top. Again, if this doesn't capture the weakness of the modern church, I don't know what does. A three-times divorced tabloid publisher owns the rights to the gender-neutral NIV, the most popular English translation by sales in America.
Yeah, it's amazing. You follow the money, and whoever owns the book is going to make it palatable to himself. I bet he likes it.
It's a almost perfect illustration of what is going on with American weaky evangelicalism that's breaking down by its Bible translations, breaking down by its commitment to a biblical position on gender, a biblical position on sexuality. This is exactly what is going on with American evangelicalism. It starts in the seminaries, in the evangelical seminaries, works its way into the warp and whoop of evangelical churches, and brings about a massive compromise around the entire evangelical world. Friends, this is it, the most popular translation sales-wise in America, the New International Version, and the NIV completely corrupted by the gender-neutral approach taken by the TNIV and adapted into the regular NIV version of the Bible in 2011 after Zondervan was bought out by Robert Murdoch and News Corp. That, my friends, is the ultimate demonic conspiracy that has been used by the providence of God. It's all come about by the providence of God to undermine evangelicalism in America and the breakdown of the Christian faith in the Western world. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Radio Broadcast. Do remember that God is sovereign of these things. He calls us to repentance. He calls us to reformation on these basic ideas. Let's be sure that we are repenting according to the Word of God and its approach to gender, its approach to sexuality. I would encourage you to my little book, Keep the Faith on Sexuality and the Family, as a good resource to maintain the biblical standard on these issues, even as the world has continued to corrupt the family and the church. And let us continue to call the churches and our families to repentance on these issues of egalitarianism, even though this may be the most offensive issue to the ear of the modern woman and the modern man. Let's continue to bring these issues to bear on the modern and call men and women to repentance on the basis of God's word and God's law, that they might turn to Christ and fall on their faces and humble themselves before Almighty God and seek for their salvation in the blood of Jesus Christ, as the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from our sins and from our warped perspectives and our warped approaches to life. Let us again seek salvation in Jesus Christ and Him alone, realizing it was Jesus who came to save us from our sins by dying on the cross for our sins, that we might be forgiven and cleansed from all unrighteousness. Let's keep these things in mind as we wrap up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. Let me encourage you to support this radio program as we continue to take the stand to keep the faith, to stand for faith, family, and freedom in an age in which these values are being systematically torn down. I encourage you to support this radio program in that light. And we're looking for 100 sponsors to continue to keep this radio program on the air for the next year. So if you would like to support this radio program, just simply go to our website, generations.org, and click on Give today. We're looking for 100 sponsors. We're almost halfway to our goal of 100 sponsors providing support for this radio program, which reaches tens of thousands of families around the world in over 100 nations around the world. 100 sponsors to keep this radio program on the air. Again, we do not ask for funds very much, but we are asking for those who believe that this message is important and is helpful in maintaining a biblical standard and holding up the standard of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in our day. If this has been helpful to you, to your family, to your friends, please support our program at generations.org and click on Give. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.